think the passage I gave him was from Acts. So that is the lesson we will look on today. Over the past many years, from time to time, I have pointed out the richness of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Because that passage reveals the adaptability of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I say adaptability, that Christianity is able to reach to the man who is on the top of the social or economical or educational level. Christianity is able to go up there and talk to him. And Christianity is also able to go down to the man who is at the bottom of the ladder and reach to that man. It's no accident that the cause of Jesus Christ, Christianity, the gospel is like that. We see this demonstrated in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. You know, when the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16 tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. But notice here the qualification. Read it, brother. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed
of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Notice what is the criteria. The criteria is not a PhD. The criteria is that it's not that your bank account have to be such and such. The criteria is not that you must be associated with etc., etc. The criteria is faith, belief. To everyone that believes, Jesus Christ can do something with you and for you. Then, you must remember too that there is one gospel. That is also wonderful news. It is like the Almighty God came up with a plan that one size fit everybody. That's wonderful. You don't have a gospel for the rich and one for the educated and one for the in-between and one for the uneducated. No, sir. The gospel of Jesus Christ reach every mind, every intellect, whatever its stage of development. Acts 16. It is a rich, informative passage. As I first said, that in that passage, we see the adaptability of Christianity. First, we see the conversion of a wealthy merchant, a wealthy businesswoman in the person of Lydia. If over the week you have some time, go and do some biblical research in just the part dealing with a seller of purple. And it will tell you how expensive that fabric was, and that Lydia was no ordinary businesswoman. From all of that, Lydia stood at the very top of the social and economical level of society. In that passage, you will see the conversion also. Here we are talking about men and women that the gospel reached and did something in their lives. In that passage, you will see a civil servant in the person of the Philippian prison officer. He was the middle of society. Very important person. Then, in that passage, that one passage, we see the demonic slave girl, not only as a slave girl, we see her being exploited. Because from all indications, she could read palm. Everybody want their palm to be read, to tell you if they're going to win the lotto and all of these foolishness. Lydia, too, was the first convert, you know, Philippi. Because that's what the passage showed wrong. Lydia was the first convert on the continent of Europe, as from what the passage revealed, the first convert on the continent of Europe. In that passage, we see Paul resorting to his Roman citizenship. Watch here. Not so much for himself, but for the gospel. We may get a little further into that. Let us hear Acts chapter 16, verse 14.
And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul.
Okay, may I? Let us hear it again, brother.
And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened.
Watch here now. If you are not careful, you may draw a wrong conclusion. It is easy to be drawn by a word that is used just now in verse 14. But watch here. Lydia, it tells you in verse 14 that she worshiped God. It tells you in verse 14 that she needed open heart surgery. And in a sense, spiritually, that's what she needs. That's right. Read it again. That means somebody. Read it again. Quick.
And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul.
God opened her heart to attend to Paul's preaching and teaching. Watch here now, ladies and gentlemen. There is no doubt that the passage tells us that she worshiped God. This passage does not tell us of God's response to her worship. Very important. In fact, let me get a little more into the passage. There are many places, I may give you one or two more examples, where a passage will tell you what the person is doing without telling you God's response to what the person has done. You must be careful how you read into that passage that what the person has done is accepted by God, it was from God, it was to God. No, this passage tells us that Lydia worshiped God. In respect to her worship, it didn't say much more there. It tells you that when she heard Paul's preaching and teaching, God opened her heart. Watch here, watch here. This tells me that up to this moment, up to the time she heard Paul's preaching and teaching, that receptive heart to the gospel of Christ was not there. That's right. Because the receptive heart to Paul's preaching took place when she encountered it at the time that we have just read. May I just drop by here? At this time, Philippi, history tells us that there was no synagogue in Philippi. Therefore, the religious Jews on the Sabbath usually find the riverside or wherever to carry on worship, because there was no place of worship in Philippi at this time. Keep in mind, Philippi, it takes its name from Alexander the Great father. That's right. And it was so named after him by Alexander the Great. Is it the city of Macedonia that was Alexander the Great, named after Alexander the Great, half-sister? It was at this time a Roman city. And how Lydia and Paul's company and others found themselves down at the seaside or riverside was because that was the place where on the Sabbath the Jews would go and worship. But that she's a worshiper doesn't mean she was a child of God. We know she was not a child of God. How do we know? She needed an open heart. Very important. Acceptable worship calls for a relationship with God. That's very important that we Christians need to keep that in mind. If you do not have a healthy relationship with God, you cannot worship Him acceptably. That's right. Very important that we understand that. The Bible encouraged wife and husband to relate to each other properly, or else your prayer can be hindered. The Bible tells us that God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. The Bible tells us when the Israelites were wondering why will God not respond to their prayer, the Almighty God, through Isaiah, told them that it was their sin that separated between them and God. The Bible tells us that it is in Jesus Christ that acceptable prayer takes place. If he abide in me, and my word abide in you. Brother Mitchell, before you go further, what does that mean? If you are a Christian in right relationship with God, then you shall ask whatever you will in my name, and it shall be granted. Telling us that acceptable prayer, effective prayer, is dependent on having a proper relationship with God. Why is it so, Brother Mitchell? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, or 59, that worship can be vain. Are we all there? Worship to God can be vain, which means you are giving it, but it's not acceptable to God. Brother Mitchell, where you said that is found? Matthew 15 and verse 9. The Bible also tells us that worship can be ignorant. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Yes, worship can be done contrary to God's revelation. You worship and you are sincere as they come, but because for various reasons you didn't do it God's way, you didn't work. Wait. You know, people believe you can just galang so and you just do what you want and God will accept it. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible reveals that you cannot just worship God any and any way. May I quote a passage and then I'll tell you the circumstances surrounding the passage. God said, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. The word nigh means near. Where is that found again? I read that passage sometime, you know, Brother Mitchell. Help me here. Yes, I soon will help you. I will be sanctified. That means God, I'm quoting from God. I will be set apart. I will be treated in a reverential way in anyone who comes near to me. You know how comes that said? That was said after God killed two men, Nadab and Abihu, because they worship God contrary to his will. Just worship. And it wasn't done according to God's directive. Found in the book of Leviticus chapter 10. Yes, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3, 4, or 5. So back on the point, you know, I started with pointing out that worship can be vain. Then I took up the second point. Worship can be ignorant, which means you are worshiping, but it is not according to God's directive. This we find in Acts 17, verse 23. Paul said to the Athenians, yes, you are worshiping the unknown God, but you are doing it ignorantly. In other words, and also God worship. Wait, let me just drop this mic, because sometimes we pass over these areas and we just assume. When? There's some lovely song that was sung this morning. What was the last one, Michael? Who made the sun? That's right. Wonderful song. Okay, we can sing that song to the glory and honor of God's name. Watch me now. But we can sing that song to entertain ourselves. Watch here now. Let's say a few of us with wonderful voices come together and decided that we're going to cut a record. Of course, I'm not cut record anymore. Okay. Okay. And we start to think how much sale we can get for that religious record in 1 month. The places will get it sold in Montego Bay, in Mandeville, in Kingston. And how much money we can make a year, because here is a brother and a sister who have good voice, and here is a... Yes, and we decide who will sing the bass. It's a religious song. But the prime motive for putting it together is to make money. The prime reason for putting it together, or coming together as a group, is for the song to entertain. Now, brothers and sisters, many people get mixed up. They think that's worship. Every time they hear that song sung, they think they are what? No. That's not worship. When the motive is wrong, when you put the song together either to provide entertainment for your fellow men or to make money, you do not worship God with that song that way. Huh? It's important that we understand these things. Wait, that's healthy entertainment. But it is not worship. We drank grape juice this morning in commemoration of Jesus' spilled blood. When we take that little grape juice in that small container, it is to remind us of the price that Jesus Christ paid for our sin. And it was not, the little cup is only symbolic of Jesus' blood, life, or life blood that spilled from his body. Christ didn't cut a finger or his hand cutting lumber and little of his blood bled. No. Enough blood had to be bled from Christ's body as to take his life. That's what our salvation called for. That's what our forgiveness called for. So when we take that, we take it in commemoration to remind us of the price that was paid for our sin. He was preaching on worship, and now he turned to the communion. I'm still on worship. So when we take it that way, remembering the price Christ paid for our sin, then it is taken properly. We worship God. But then, I may go home, yes, feeling thirsty, and my God, the heat. Truly, it's terrible. 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 People are dying in other places because of this. So let's say I reach home, and Sister Mitchell had bought grape juice. In fact, sometimes she do buy. But tell me what. Because I am so used to taking it for communion, very rarely I drink the one home. Truly, because it's like there's conflict. You see. Anyway, but let's say I drink the grape juice home to quench my thirst. That's not worship. Amen. It's the same substance. But when I drink it to quench my thirst, it has a completely different meaning than when I drink it in commemoration of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We're talking about worship. You see, if we can help the world understand the difference between worship and entertainment, and some of the things you can do to spoil up worship, and we need to teach it, to tell it, to preach it. Are we all there? We need to. So, the Bible speaks about ignorant worship, meaning when you worship God, you must know what His directives are as it refers to worship. You're not just worship any and any way. Oh Lord, I'm tempted to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but I'm not going to worry, go there. Just come to the mind that that is a great passage to bring in. Yes. The Bible also speaks of not only vain worship, Matthew 59, ignorant worship, Colossians, Acts 17 and verse 23. But the Bible speaks of will worship. The Bible speaks of will worship. I underline the word will because will worship is worship that is self-imposed. Worship that originates in man's desire and man's will, not to really worship God, but to give him herself satisfaction. The Bible calls that will worship. Somebody need to read it in Colossians 2, 20 through 23. Quick, brother. Let us hear it. Colossians chapter 2, from verse 20 through verse 23.
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ.
Yes, if you be dead with Christ.
From the rudiments of the world.
Yeah, from the way the world does things.
Why? As though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances.
Wait, watch here now. These ordinances are ordinances of man. So he said, if you are dead to the world, you don't let sin and the world way of doing and seeing things control your life. Why do you still subject yourself to these ordinances that the world has? What are they?
Touch not.
Yes, that is, you see, the world religion is do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, do that, do that. So touch not.
Taste not.
You can't eat that.
Handle not. Which are all to perish with
Paul
the using.
Says they are all to perish in their using. They are temporary worldly things. Don't make them your spiritual and religious life. Read on.
After the commandments and doctrines of men.
Mm-hmm.
Which things have indeed a show of wisdom.
They look like they are good things. And it's which things have a show of wisdom. They appear as if they are good things.
In will worship.
That is self-imposed worship. Man-made worship. That worship is not acceptable to God. May I? Of course, the Bible speaks of true worship. God is a spirit, and anyone who worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Have you noticed that there are four worship I have just run down there? Vain worship. Ignorant worship. will worship and true worship. Of the four of them, only one is acceptable to God. And what we are showing back to Lydia is that the Bible says she was worshipped doesn't mean she was a child of God. We know from the context she wasn't, because her heart needed to be made receptive to God's word. And it's just now when she met Paul, that heart going to be made receptive. Watch it. Let me give you another example. Look at Acts 8, verse 21 following. Quick. Verse 26 following, Acts 8.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia.
Yes, an Ethiopian.
A eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians.
Wait. He's another top in societal class. He was the minister of finance for the queen of Ethiopia. Watch here now.
And had come to Jerusalem.
For what reason?
For worship.
Everybody hear that? But look here. From what we are told, that was about 300. From Ethiopia to Jerusalem was about 300 miles, or somewhere close there. Can you imagine we asking you to travel 100 miles to worship? I said 100. Sometimes we live in the mouth of the church and we can hardly give God a little more time in worship for the week. No doubt the Bible says if the righteous help me here, scarcely be saved, where shall they ungodly be? You can see the commitment of this man. 300 miles. Let's cut it down to 2 and do your research and you will see more than 2, if my memory serves me right. You travel from here to Montego Bay just to worship. No other reason brought you there. Are we all there? You know why, brothers and sisters, one of our problems, we do not realize how much we owe to God. Amen. That's our basic problem. So if we give a 1 or 2 hours in worship on Sunday, we believe that's enough. God no expect, and then we have a way of justifying it, feeling within ourselves that God accept that. I know God. What about you that know God? Because it's not God's word. Christian in the New Testament used to come together daily. Are we all there? Yes. So this man traveled some 300 miles from Ethiopia for no other reason than to worship God. But watch here now.
Was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Esaias the prophet.
You see the dedication of the man? You see the religious depth of the man? He was returning from worship, but he was still reading God's word. He did not even have the New Testament because it was not yet compiled or written. He was reading the scripture. Brother Mitchell, what a dedicated Christian he was. You're wrong. Dedicated, yes. Christian, no. He was not a Christian. He was not a child of God. He was a seeker. Amen. And the Almighty God knew that the man was sincere. The Almighty God knew that the man was searching. And therefore, God guided the preacher to teach him. In fact, listen, very important. Listen, step me down. You read from verse 26, step me down to 30, 31, 32, somewhere there.
And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And said,
Do you understand what you read? Notice the man's attitude. This is key, you know. His humility, I mean.
And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me?
You hear that? That's humility. He didn't say, what question do you ask me? Do you know who I am? Look at the position the man held, yet he didn't understand God's word. Because you and I may have 20 PhD behind our name, yet we are ignorant of God's will. How can I accept someone should guide me? Quick, brother, read quick.
And he desired...
What verse is that?
Verse 31.
Yes, so he desired in 31 for the preacher to come up into his chariot and teach him. Step down to around 32, 30, somewhere there.
The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer.
That is all about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did to redeem us. Step down.
In his humiliation.
Step down.
And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this?
Of himself or of some other?
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at
the same scripture in Isaiah and preached unto him who?
Unto Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Thank God. Read, brother.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water.
You notice it's not the preacher who brought the water to the prospective convert attention. It was the prospective convert riding in the comfortable chariot or limousine said to the preacher, you tell me about baptism, because that is what is implied. You talked me a while ago about baptism. Why do you pass the water? Here is water. What do it hinder me to be baptized? Amen. So that man was not a child of God. Even though the Bible states that he was coming from worship. That he was coming from worship, that he had engaged in worship, doesn't mean that he was a child of God. Like many thousands upon thousands of people today, they are going to so-called worship. They are coming from worship, but they do not even know the will of God. You and I can help by teaching them. So that you or I are engaged in worship does not mean you are accepted by or in a right relationship with God. Lydia, that we have just read, is a very good case. That in spite of Lydia's commitment to learning God's will, until she was baptized for the remission of her sin, she was not a child of God. Lydia needed to listen and be taught the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Lydia needed a mind or a heart open or made receptive by God's help. Every prospective convert needed. to have their minds or their heart open and become receptive to what Jesus Christ has to say to them. This call for a particular attitude. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10.
And Acts
10, 33. Let us hear.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Everybody hear that? That's a simple statement. This passage is telling you why so many men and women are not going to be saved. It's not because they are not religious. It's not because they do not engage in worship. They do not love God's truth. They may love some other religious truth, but not the gospel truth. And the passage the brother is reading here from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 12, is telling us that God will send some strong delusion because they do not love the truth. Acts 10:33 again.
So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to listen to everything that you have been instructed by the Lord.
That is Cornelius. We are here to listen. Peter, we don't want you to tell us about the Jewish history. Peter, we are really not here gathered to hear about all your experience coming from your parents right now. We are here to listen what message you have for us from God. That should be our attitude. The Bible tells us that God opened Lydia's heart to attain to the true thought to her by Paul. The word attain there means to give heed. The word attain means to pay attention. The word attain means to accept. The word attain means to hold to. The word attend mean to turn over in the mind. The word attend mean to attach. Oneself to something. And this means that when the Bible says she attend to the things spoken by Paul, it means she pay keen attention. We need to do that when it comes to God's word. We will have to end the lesson about here. But because I may not get back to this lesson, let me just make these closing remarks. What is striking is how Paul, while in jail, that is maximum security Roman jail, Paul could sing songs of praises to God's name while in jail. And this tells us that the one thing you can never take from a true child of God is God and Jesus Christ. When you are a true child of God, whatever befalls you in life, wherever it befalls you, you will always remember that God and Christ is there. Paul, in the maximum security jail of Rome, did not forget that. In fact, I think the man singing and prayer, whatever brought down earthquake, that's right. But not only that, Paul was willing to open the door of salvation to the Philippian prison officer who had shut the door of the prison on Paul. Yes, he shut the prison door and Paul opened the door of salvation for him because he was converted about 3 o'clock that night when the Bible says what, the fourth hour? That was then the time you just a turn to get your last nap before you get up. That's the time that the man, what hour it says? Third, fourth hour? Yes. God be praised. And last but not least, that we must never forget that there is no place that misfortune, hate, bitterness can take us that Jesus Christ cannot follow. I'm sorry that we cannot go in more detail about the jailer's conversion, because it's important, while I may not get back to this, for you to notice, so important is baptism. Are we all there? So important is baptism that when the man wanted to get baptized after 12 o'clock the night, are we all there? Because it was at midnight that God sent the earthquake. Wait here. The Almighty God sometime have to use some fearful means to get our attention. Are we all there? Those of you who are waiting for God to give you a sign before you respond to Jesus Christ, you better start praying that God doesn't give you any sign. Because some of the ways that God has given sign in the Bible, they were terribly fearful. You see, and God sent the earthquake. As I said, the man was baptized after 12 o'clock the night. But the preacher, Paul, did not say to him, look here, let us wait until the morning. Or it's about 3 hours until the morning, or 4 hours until daylight. No, sir. It was urgent business that needed urgent action here and now. He baptized him the same hour of the night. And people, foolish people, talk about water, baptism, not essential to salvation. This tells me that baptism is absolutely necessary to every man's salvation. Only make sure you get the right teaching before you are baptized. And even today, right now, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you can step forward, submit to the will of the Almighty God in Christ. You need Christ. Why? You are a sinner. Are you a good person? Yes, you might be. Are you a decent man or woman? Yes, you might be. But you are still a sinner. Needed forgiveness from God. And the Almighty God has a plan of salvation. And he has one plan for every man. You can respond to Jesus Christ tonight, this morning, now, through hearing the gospel, believing in Christ, accepting your sinful condition, making up your mind not only to believe in Christ, but to repent of your sin, to confess, not your sin. You don't remember all of them anyway, but to confess Christ's name and to get baptized to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. You know what? You can do that right now. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you and to forgive you.